Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Well, summer is officially here, right? If you haven't been outside much, it is pretty stuffy. Humidity's up, but we're glad to see you in God's house this morning. I mean, he's glad they're here today. There's two or three of us glad. The rest of you guys, we're just glad to have y'all, right? God is good. Thank you for all the prayers this week for my family, for Shelby. She's still going to do some doctor's appointments, so we're praying that we get everything where it needs to be here at a very speedy time. But this morning, as always, just make yourself at home this morning. Allow God to speak to your heart today. I truly believe he speaks to our heart every time we come together in corporate worship, whether that's Bible study time or whatever we gather together in his name. He speaks. He's a faithful God. How many has found him faithful? Amen. God is definitely faithful. He loves his people, and he's there with us. So this morning as we sing to a king that is very much alive today. And that's who we've come to meet with in this place. This evening, it'll actually start at 5 o'clock. Our church helps sponsor a community, kind of a 4th of July gathering. It's at the park. There'll be a fireworks show tonight at dark, whenever that is. It's a great show. We went last year. I think they do it on the tennis court. We parked a little close last year. We really didn't know where they did it at, and we were sitting right beside the tennis court, and when they fired it up, we were in the action. So I would probably recommend for you to maybe on the pool side, I think would be a better place to sit. Unless you like being in the middle of the action, then the tennis court is your spot, okay? So have an opportunity to go to that this evening. It's a great deal to do that. It's a community event. Just to get to meet some people. There'll be some food vendors and things there. You can get you something to eat also this evening. So saying that to say this, guys, today we're honored to be in God's house. Wouldn't you agree? It's an honor to be in the King's house this morning for us to open up God's word in a little bit and see what he'll speak to our heart today. And listen, I truly believe he has something for you today. Not because I'm here, not because any of us here, because his spirit is amongst us here this morning. So just allow your heart to be spoken to today. So I'm going to pray in just a minute. Mr. Ricky's going to come. Glad to have him back. I kind of made fun of him last week, said he was on a two-week sabbatical. But he was good. It's good for him to be away. I'm glad he's back. So glad to have you back today, Mr. Ricky. But just pray today that you just sing to God today. You sing to the King today. And so I'm going to pray for us this morning as we go into worship time here today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God who keeps his promises. Father, we thank you you're a God who keeps his word. Father, to let us know that no matter what we face today, tomorrow, the next week of our life, you're there with us. Father, I'm reminded about every day we go out about how you're working in people's lives, how you make opportunities for us. Father, if we'll just open our eyes to see those opportunities. So today, Father, open our eyes to see you, Lord, to see you clearly in this place today. Father, have our ears to be open to the true words of God today, Father, that we can just impart them in our lives, to spread them, to what they're about to be to our family, our friends, our community. Lord, today, Father, you are welcome in this place. Feel your Holy Spirit in this place today. Stir our hearts, Father, today in this place. As we sing today, we sing to a king that is alive, not dead, not wondering what he's going to do next. Father, you've already been before us. So today, Father, let us just praise you with all we've got in this place today. Be with our singers today as they sing. Father, be with our pianists and our organists as they play today. Father, use the talents that you have given to glorify you in this place today. Father, we open up your word in a little bit. Father, speak to our hearts today. Let the words jump off the page and what needs to be imparted into our lives. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus' price he paid on Calvary's cross to make it possible for us to be in this place today. So, Father, let us be on fire for you today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone. And we have a nice looking choir this morning. Thank you for them this morning. It is good to be back and missed y'all. We was thinking about you and praying for God's presence in our worship each Sunday we was away. But it is good to be back. This morning we're going to be singing He is Worthy of Our Praise. And the psalmist David in Psalms 100 verse 4, he invites us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. In Psalms 92, Verse 1, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. Let's all stand as we sing, He is worthy of our praise. Praise the Lord. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. Let's praise Him as I sing praises.
And grace.
He is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, "Repent, therefore, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Let's do this as we sing this morning, as we renew our fellowship with the Lord. Times of refreshing. Let's praise Him.
Shining
Just sing that song this morning without knowing what it means, Father, to have a desire to see you. Father, I hope that's true in our lives today. Father, we come in this place and we sing songs. There is no greater joy than being with you. Church, do we realize what that means to us as believers that we can sing songs, Father, to you today? What a joy and honor it is to be in the King's house today. Father, we thank you for that. So, Father, open our eyes wide, wide open today. And Father, I pray that you keep them open, because when we go outside the walls of the church today at the pace of the world where everybody's going and doing their different things and all this is happening today, that we will stand on the solid rock. And Father, we'll use your eyes to see how we can make an impact in somebody's life today. Because Father, I'm thankful you make impacts on our lives. I'm thankful you stir our hearts. Father, you allow us to see the truth of your word when we open your Bible. Father, our hard scripture today, when we check our lives to see what temperature are, see how we are responding to things that are happening in the world today, see where we fit in today. Father, I think sometimes in my own life I've sat and watched too much, not engaged enough. And so today, Father, I pray that you show us how to intertwine and serve in today's time like we've never served before. Oh, Father, allow us to be your hands and feet to the St. Joe community, Lawrence County, and across the nation to spread the good news that you are alive. You're still changing, still saving people, and you're still doing miracles. Oh, church, that's who we've come to meet with today. I pray that your heart are stirred today. Father, I ask us to go with us through the rest of this moments of time we have today. Father, in your great name we pray. Amen. So thankful you're with us here today. Coming up on July, I can't believe Mr. Ricky and I were talking this morning. June is almost gone. Half of this year has done went by very, very quickly. Time passes pretty quick, even though we don't think it does sometimes. But I remember when I was first went to work and I was working, and you look at the clock, it seemed like the hand would never move. Anybody ever did that? You look, and then I went to work at the ambulance service. I worked 24-hour shifts, and it just seemed like that thing would just stand still. You're like, I wish it would just move a little bit. It's kind of make some kind of effort. But today's time, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a dad of two kids. Sometimes I want to grab that clock and slow it down, right? I want to hold it and say, whoa, 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 time's going by very, very quickly. We talked here on Wednesday night in our Bible study time about the pace of what the world is going at now. And we had a reunion last night with some of my football coaches back in high school, and Coach Toner and Coach Ernest and some of those guys that I'm still in contact with today. And we were talking about, actually Coach Ernest and I were talking about the pace of how people live today. And most people today, we live at a pretty fast pace. Wouldn't you agree that we live at a fast pace today, the way things go and things? And Coach Ernest and I were talking, and I said, you know, as a Christian today, us as believers, we are still in the middle of the world today. We're not of the world, right? The Bible says we're not of the world, but we still have to function in society. We still have to do things out there today. So kind of a question I have for you this morning. Do you believe we can still do ministry in the world today? Do you think we got to the point in time where God says, this is too fast, we can't do it? And so I want you to think on those lines today. Listen, I believe if we be honest in the times today, we're living like in times no other we'd ever thought we'd ever see, right? Anybody ever say, hey, I didn't think we'd ever see a time like us today? I spent a week in Pigeon Forge for training, and I shared with you there's like all kind of openings and jobs and things, and I'm sure that's everywhere you go to. Like no other time. I read a thing this week where the governor was offering the people of a state $1,500 to go back to work. Anybody ever thought that would ever happen? When I graduated high school in 1996, I put in applications to go to work at places that wouldn't even hire. Why? Because there were so many people looking for jobs and so many people working. So we see this like in time like no other. And we think about how we fit into what's going on today as believers. Listen, I think this is the utmost more time to stand out as a believer than it was yesterday, to stand up in society and say, listen, even though everything's going fast in the world today, God is still good. And through all the difficult times, we were eating at Brass Leonard. I shared this with our team this morning as we prayed. You know me, has anybody got a curious mind like I do? If I don't want to answer something, I'm going to ask somebody. Well, the waitress we had, you could tell that she had a lot going on, a lot was going on in her life. And so we were just talking to her, and I was thinking about this message we're going to preach today as Christians, as we think about the church of Laodicea, about being lukewarm and hot and all these things. Like all this was going through my mind. And she had a tattoo on her arm. And listen, I don't have any of those, but I kind of like looking at them. And it had a word on there that she kept moving her arm. Really, I just want to reach and grab it and let me read it, but I thought that might have been inappropriate. But so I asked her, finally when she slowed down, I just got to know, what you got right here? And it was the word survivor. It was a word survivor written, but the S was different than any S I'd ever seen. And it was an S that stood for an eating disorder she had. And she said in the hospital, her heartbeat got down like 21 beats a minute. And they didn't know for sure if she was going to make it or not. But she said all the nurses got to calling her a survivor. So she had that put on her arm as a reminder. And I told Shelly as I was walking out, I said, that's her story. That's her story. That's a way for her to share that the things that she had went through in this life, that how she could help other people over those things just by what she had right there. Now, I'm not saying tattoo, oh, yeah, I'm getting a tattoo now. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we all have a story, church. We all have something to share to somebody else's life. And listen, and hear my heart this morning as we go through this. We can't do that lukewarm. And in society today, at the fast pace of the world's going, doing it halfway is not going to get it. Can I tell you, most of us, if we be honest today, we do just enough to get by, don't we? We do just enough to make it feel like, hey, I did my part, I did these things today. So listen, all these things we see in the world today, I've shared with you many times, God puts things in our life for us to realize what we have. And realize who we have it in. That's the difference. Today, your faith is in who? If you're a Christian, your faith is in Christ. And so you think about today as we go through these scriptures this morning, First John, we're actually going to be in Revelation chapter 3 for the most of the morning, but I also want to share a passage of scripture with you out of the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, kind of set up where we're going today. And it says this, as you look at these scriptures here today, these are very prevalent of where we're at in society. It says this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Verse 16, it says, for everything in the world, the lust, the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17, it says, the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. I'm going to tell you, today in society, the world tells us one thing, but listen, the thing I know as a Christian, and I'm not a great theologian, the world will tell you one thing, but the truth is found in here, right? How many believes this is the truth here today? This is the truth and the foundation of God's Word. And listen, the world will tell you today, this is not true. Anybody heard that? You hear a lot in society today now, people say, this is just a book. This is not just a book to me. This is my foundation as a Christian here today when I hold the Bible in my hand. Whether that's holding in technology, and I think Mr. Ricky asked me this morning, he said, how'd your conference go? I said, we had a whole day of technology. And I said, I could just pull what little hair I had left out because I'm not a technology person. But today we see the foundation of Christ and we see what it means here today. 1 John 5:19 says this. It says, we know that we are children of God and that the world is under the control of the evil one. It's not a shock today to see people in society, and more you watch TV and you hear different things today about all this and this and this. Listen, church, we cannot rewrite this. Hear my heart this morning, even as Christians, if we don't be careful how we interpret the Word of God, we start rewriting Scripture to make it fit our lives. And a lot of people today have made it acceptable, and that's not the way the Word of God is supposed to be written out for us to do. Listen, this is one here, a great friend of mine at Liam Baptist always said this all the time. He said, listen, as a believer, we're not of this world, we're just passing through. We're just passing through here for a short period of time, and this guy's in his 80s now, and he'll tell you this morning. He said, we're just passing through, but he would follow it up with this, and he always say, he says, what we do while we're passing through defines who the God is inside of us. He'd always say that. He said, listen, man, we're just passing through here. He's also the guy that told me to go to the dessert table first. Do y'all know that's the table that's not ever crowded? See, I just lost some of you this morning. You're like, hey, dessert. He told me the very first time we had a meal, and I was like sitting there with him, and he said, all right, they said, let's go eat. I'm like, all right, let's go eat, you know. And he grabbed me, he's like, sit down. I'm like, okay, I'm a pastor, I can wait. He said, you see that table in the corner over there? I was like, yeah, I see it. He said, you see anybody around it? I said, no, I don't see anybody. He said, that's where we're going. It's a reasonable thing. So we got up, went over, and he said, listen, there's not a piece of this disturbed. He said, we get first pick, and he's one of the biggest diabetics I know today. But listen, we see today how people do things and how things happen in the world's life. Listen, the world is passing at a very quick pace, and it's going to get faster as time goes. Does that lessen who God is? Here's where I'm at this morning, church. Hear my heart this morning. Man, I sat the last 2 days just reading Scripture and looking at things, and thinking about what people are reacting in church and out of church, and how people are reacting and what's going on today. Listen, church, none of us are exempt from getting caught up in what's going on out there. Hear my heart today. I want to lay it out there just as plain as I can today about what people are doing today. Listen, and I'm going to tell you this. You may get upset at me. A lot of people think because we're Christians, we're immune to the things that happen in the world. A lot of people think that, hey, just because you come to church, you got it all together. Listen, this I tell people all the time, we come to church because we don't have it all together. How many's with me, huh? Man, I don't come to church because I got it all together. I come to church because I meet with a God that puts us together. You see the heart on that. You see people's heart today. Listen, not as a pastor, but as a believer, my heart breaks today for people in society. Because people's hope and people's desires have changed, and people's reflection of my God who changed my life has changed the way they see things today. And this morning, I pray as we look at this scripture, we look at just a few things out of this text today, that the Lord will speak to your heart today. He will show you and I how we can live as Christians in the midst of difficult situations in society today. So if you have your Bibles, look with me in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Listen, this morning as a church, we're going to look at the church of Laodicea. It was a very well-known, rich, had lots of money, known for its banking industry, wool, medical supplies. Had lots of things going on in the church of Laodicea, but they didn't have a very good water supply. They didn't have very much water, and they made some things to get the water to their town, but once it got to the town, it was just lukewarm. It wasn't very good water. And a lot of people say the church had become the same way. It kind of come just kind of a bland, kind of a lukewarm church. Can I tell you, if we want to change what's going on in society today, if you hear nothing else I say this morning, you know this: a church has to be on fire for Christ. You have to be on fire for Christ. Listen, and who does the Bible say the church is? Us. Listen, this is a building, nice building we have here, and praying, just keep praying that we get a roof on this place soon. We got some bids that I didn't pass out this week, so that's good. So it's some encouragement of getting some roof fixed here very, very soon. But listen, here today, listen, church, you are the church. God, when you become a Christian, you become the church. And listen, everybody has a testimony. Just like that girl I talked about earlier, had it on her wrist, the way that she could show that. Listen, each and every one of you have a testimony that somebody needs to hear. Something that God has brought you through that where you can share with somebody else's life. So let's just look at the text this morning. It says, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 21, and then we'll unpack a few things here today. Then we'll get out here for some lunch. And it says this. It says, the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He said, if you know your deeds, they are neither cold or hot. I wish they were either one or one or the other. He says, so because the lukewarm, neither cold or hot. He says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That doesn't sound very good. And he goes on and he says, verse 10, he says, you say I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. And he says, I'm the counsel you to buy from me the gold refined by fire. And he says, so that you can become rich, white clothes to wear. He says, when you can cover your shameful nakedness and the slay that you put on your eyes to where you can see. And he goes on in verse 19. He says, those whom I have rebuked and disciplined so they to be earnest and repent. Verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, he says, I will come and eat with the person and they with me. Verse 21, it says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne. He says, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. And then if you read verse 22, it's probably going to come on your screen. It says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the churches, what the Spirit says to the churches. The very first thing we see in the text today is found in the very first few verses is this. We know, and you got a question for us today, in what way are you living today? Look what it says. It says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I wish you were one of the two, not just lukewarm. Listen, I use this example a lot of times. If you're from the country, and we've used this before, nobody crosses a barbed wire fence and stays on it, do they? You're going to go to one side or the other, ain't you? Especially, and I went out to Texas, they got a little more slack in their fence. But here, most people here, you pull it tight plus stretch it another 5 feet, right? And you kind of, it don't have much bend on it. You're not going to stay in the middle of that. You're going to go to one side or the other. So that's what the Bible says. You know, pick which one you want to do. Now, let me tell you something. How many in here has experienced Christ in your life? Is that not a better side than the other side? Is that not a better way to spend your day serving and loving Christ than to be on the other side of that fence? And you think about the difference in that. Romans 12:11 says this. It says, never lacking in zeal, but keeping spiritual favor, serving the Lord. Listen, church, it's tough times to serve, but it's time to serve. Don't miss that. It's tough times to serve in, But it's time to serve. It's time to do. I'm excited here in July. We're going to do VBS. Man, we get the opportunity to love on some kids and have some people to come in for VBS. VBS is one of my favorite times of the year. It's a great time to spread the word of God. Listen, and he made it very plain. He said, I wish you were one or the other. So if you had to ask yourself this morning, listen, on my daily way I do, when I go out in society, am I serving God? What's my temperature today? If we lined each other up, God did this morning with a, I thought about this, and I know I'm one of the craziest guys' analogies, but if God took our temperature today, what would it be? If he, Mr. Gary, he just lined us all up and says, okay. I remember there was a nurse that used to come to our school, and she would lay your head down on a desk and get a number two pencil out and check. Anybody remember those days? You would lay your head down, and you would lay your pencil out there, and she would check that. Some of the young kids are like, what in the world is he talking about? See, some of you remember those days. They would check. They would go around, and she wasn't the very night, you know, she didn't take a lot of pain. She was kind of stirring things around. I had hair one time. Now it wouldn't take but just a glance. But what if, guys, this morning that God says, okay, what's your temperature? Where are you at? You know what? He already knows, doesn't he? He already knows. He don't have to get up and take our temperature. He already knows where we're at today and what we're doing. Listen, if we get caught up in the world, it can definitely affect our temperature, can't it? If we get caught up in the pace of the world, it can definitely affect our temperature. Listen, a guy told me this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, make sure you keep pace with God. He said, keep pace with him. He said, that way you'll be right where you need to be. Yeah, listen, if we'd all be honest, sometimes we get ahead. But most of the time, if we would really be honest, we do what? We lag behind. Be careful we keep in pace with him. Another thing we see in Scripture this morning is actually found in verses 7 and 18. Listen, which has a stronger influence on you, this word of God or the world today? I read different commentaries all the last few days of just peeling through things and looking at things and thinking of this today. Listen, how many has an iPhone? Come on, raise your hand this morning. I know a lot of people got those things. You know what? That's probably one of the most addictive things you can get into. Oh, you're like, I'm just going to throw my phone at you this morning, right? I'm not talking about your phone, but what you do with that phone can actually take a lot of your time up, can't it? Why? Because you got everything right there, you know. I mean, I would have never thought one day you could hold all that in your hand and just kind of stroll through all that stuff, right? I told Mr. Gary a long time, I want to go back to the flip phone. I'd love to see people stroll through those flip phones, wouldn't you? That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Be like, oh, you know, if you open up one of them, you're like, oh, he's so out of date, right? That's like if you walk in somebody's house today and they got one of them old roller dial phones. Anybody see any of those anymore? Wouldn't you like to see some of the kids grab one of those today? Be like, how do you work that thing, right? So we see what it means today that, listen, what influences you? I mean, we have parents and grandparents influence our kids and our grandkids, don't they? You and I influence people in our church and our fellowship. You and I influence people at our workplaces. But what influence are you influencing people by? Is it one that's coming from the Word of God today that says, hey, man, I'm a sinner saved by grace? But it's not always easy to face the things we face, but I'm still going to strive for in Jesus' name. I'm going with him. Is that the influence that we're putting out today? Or are we the one that's saying, listen, it's just going to be like this forever. It's not going to get any better. Anybody ever heard that? It's not going to get any better. It's not going to change. So what influence are we going to do? I was thinking about that last night as I was with my old football coach and Coach Toner. And listen, I want to tell you, that guy right there has an immaculate memory, and he has not aged a day since I graduated high school. But I'm going to tell you, I seen him last night. I watched him go around that room, and listen, all of his football players, he knew him. He would hug them. And this guy would tell you this. He said, I love you. The influence he had on my life is something that was beyond him teaching me football skills. It was one that teach me how to deal with people and how to relate to society. And listen, he taught with some kind of love that I believe that only comes from here. And so today, that's what I want to be as a coach and as a part. I want to teach them the fundamentals, but I want to teach them life skills. That's what I told all my coaches last night. You guys taught me life skills. So what life skills are we teaching our people around this church? Are we teaching those values that come from God today? So which one influences you? Which one are you influenced most by? Listen, the world tells us we need more money, don't it? The world tells us we got to have more money. And the Bible tells us this in Hosea 12:8. It says, I'm very rich. I've become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find me. It says, will not find me in my iniquity of sin. I think in society today we think, listen, it takes money to keep the power on, right? How many is glad we have power today? We have a nice place to come sit. This took money, didn't it? Got to be careful how we use that money. A lot of people get caught up in the money of just wanting more stuff and wanting more things. Listen, church, you hear this here today. If you have Christ, you have all you need. You have all you need. Do you really grab a hold of that and what that means? Listen, if we grab a hold and we have Christ, all we need, no matter who we face, what we go through, that's all we need. Listen, the world tells us we need more, don't it? The world tells me you got to have this, you got to have this to fit in society, you need this to fit in. Christ told him in the scriptures, he says, you know what, buy gold. What he was meaning, his spiritual blessings, his teachings, his things of life. And listen, our value is not, you know, our value is not in our possessions. And it's okay to have stuff, but our value is not in our possessions. Listen, our value is in the right relationship with Christ. That's where we find value, is our right relationship with Him and walking with Him. Listen, church, we all need to see clearly who our influences are in our life. Just like I said earlier, if he was here taking our temperature, listen, he knows how you're influenced by. But I'm going to tell you this, guys, and hear my heart today. The devil knows how you get influenced too. He knows how to get into your life. He knows how to do these things that get you off track. He knows how to get us turning on the ways of life that we don't need to be on and where we don't are not productive for the kingdom. Listen, another thing is this. It's kind of found in verses 19 and 20. Are you able to hear him knocking? And while I was going to conference last week, there was a lady that I know that I'm friends with, but she did a talk on kids' stuff, and she did this demonstration. I'm going to do it this morning, but listen, it was like this. She said, you know what, sometimes in life gets us where all we hear is this. And she just kept beating that table, and she was talking. She said, can y'all hear me talking? Well, no, all you could hear was that bam, 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 bam. It's like she said, man, she was talking to the whole group of guys, and she said this, and it made an impact on me. She said, you know what? When we're listening and doing so many different things, we can't hear what we need to be listening to. And you think about what the world tells us. Listen, if we be honest, is this not what we hear today in the world? So many different things going on. So much going on in our life that we can't hear from God. And listen, you know what he's saying there? Listen, he is knocking, church. He has not stopped knocking on people's hearts. I think the problem is in my life, I'm just not listening. He hasn't quit knocking. But listen, I'll be honest, this is what I hear sometimes. So much going on that I can't hear what I need to be listening to. And you think about what he's saying. Listen, the love of Christ, it talks about discipline in that. I'm going to be honest with you, nobody likes to be disciplined because nobody wants to admit that they're what? Wrong. If we be honest with you, we live in a right, everybody's right today, isn't they? When's the last time coming up and saying, listen, I'm just wrong, Mr. Gary, I missed that. Even if somebody admits they're wrong, they make an excuse for why they were wrong, right? Listen, sometimes the best lessons I've learned has been disciplined by my God. That he just told me the truth and allowed me to have forgiveness. Hebrews 12:6 says this. He says, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, he chastens everyone he accepts as son. Proverbs 3:12 says this, because the Lord disciplines he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Listen, we turn. Listen, a lot of things we need to do in this life, church. Listen, this is one thing I want you to hear today. I got just a few more things. Is this. This is what's got me the last few days. Turn and repent and don't be stubborn. Turn and repent. Go back to Christ and don't be stubborn. I would like to say I'm not a very stubborn person. Anybody else admit that they're a stubborn person in here? Nobody. I've got a couple. And we're like, don't do that. You ain't getting me there. Listen, I used to be, when I was young, and my parents and other people would probably do this, I loved a good argument. I wanted to be stubborn. I always wanted to win. Anybody else like that? Come on, a couple. I always wanted to be that, man. If I would argue with you. My parents and people would say I used to argue with a fence post. Anybody heard that old saying? You know, that's what I like doing. I was not smart enough, bro, to be a lawyer. But, dude, I loved a good argument. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted that confrontation. I wanted to be stubborn. If I thought I was right, you are not going to prove me that I was wrong. I was going to be in it to the end, even though that what I was just going to, I sold out to it. Listen, until I found Christ, I sold out to something I know was right. And my stubbornness is not there anymore. I learn stuff all the time. So why aren't we so stubborn when it comes to accepting what God wants us to do? You think about that. Think how we apply those things to our lives. And how we do this each and every day. Listen, Revelations 2:5 says this, consider how far we have fallen. Repent and do the things you did first. If you do not repent, I will come and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Consider how far I've fallen. Repent and do all the things you did first. I think it was Wednesday night. We were talking in here and we have great conversations on Wednesday night. But we were talking, I think some people even said they wish their wives had reset buttons. Things like that. I know none of you are going to raise your hand this morning because on Sunday mornings, nobody goes with me. I'm flying solo on that. But on Wednesday nights, there is a few that will come out and say things. But on Sunday mornings, it's a different setting. They're not going with me. That's okay. They'll have to repent for that one day for leaving their pastor all by himself. But I say that to say this. And it's not a reset button. But we can go to Christ and reset our lives anytime. Anytime. We can come before him and say, listen, I'm a sinner. I've messed this up. I've been stubborn. I've been blind. Not been doing what you want me to do. You know what he does? The big old arms. Anytime. So you think about as we go through life and as we face these things. Listen, church, he's still knocking. But a question we got to ask ourselves, are we still listening for his voice? Or as I was beating on the thing was, the world's pace got you clouded out where you can't hear it. Listen, John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and they will come to them and make our own home with them. Church, here's the thing that I see today. Are we letting him in or are we keeping him at arm's distance? You know whose idea and who's up to if you open that door? It's us. My little one's here probably somewhere this morning. We have a doorbell on the front of our house and we keep our front door, which most people don't even know we got a front porch at all. But she'll go outside and play nearly every time. That door's locked. We'll be sitting on the couch. She'll ring that doorbell. And I'm thinking, seriously, you walked out one door, went around, and now you're ringing the doorbell. So we have to get up and let her in. Because we don't, guess what she keeps doing? Ringing a doorbell. But as I read that, and I read this today, is that not what Jesus is doing? Listen, church, he's knocking. And we can leave Shanna outside for a long time ringing the doorbell. Listen, hear my heart this morning. Don't leave him at arm's distance. Open the door. Let him in. Let him in. Listen, he wants to have time with us. Listen, another thing we see today is this. Verse 21. It's kind of a personal question to have for all of us in this place today. Are you feeling victorious today? Can you get up and sing the song, Victory in Jesus? What does it say? My Savior for how long? Let's look at verse 21 again. Let's read it together. It says, the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on the throne. Listen, church, this morning, I don't know about you, but when you know that we're victorious in Christ, and we get that fire in our lives, we get that desire to open the door when he knocks and let him into our lives, let him kind of guide our lives in the way we need to go. Listen. This morning, I know I have a lot of questions. Are you sitting with the Father today, or are you running with the world? And as I was reading, this week it kind of hit me. That if we don't watch it, we'll enter the wrong race. And it hurts my heart. Because it's not always lost people to do that. It's a lot of people who love Jesus enter their own race sometimes. So you think this morning what he's saying is this. And listen, I have four questions for you. Then I got a closing verse here today, and I'll get you out of here. Listen, just four questions I have for you today. What temperature are you this morning? Like the church of Laodicea, just kind of lukewarm and kind of satisfied with just going by things? Or are you just, where are you at? Listen, in your life today, is God your influence, or the world influencing you and your influence in people with what's going on in the world today? And another question this morning I have for you this. Has the world made it hard for you to hear him knock? I dare say, if we'd be honest, a lot of us would fit into that today, that there's so much going on in our life that we cannot listen and hear him clearly knocking. Listen, another thing is this. Does it feel like you're sitting with the Father this morning? I'm going to tell you, when you go back to the days, I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, wasn't that the greatest feeling to know at that point in time in your life you're sitting with the Father? Listen, I want to close with the scripture this morning. This is Revelations 5:5 says this. This is a closing scripture of the day. This is, the one of the elders said to me, he says, do not weep. He says, see the lion coming, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He says, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll of the seven seals. I want to tell you something this morning, church. Can you see him coming? We talked about that this past Wednesday night. I do believe the days of Jesus, he's coming back soon. Now, whether that's tomorrow, next week, or 30 years of my life, we need to be found victorious, excited, and looking for him to be coming. The days of saying, oh, the world's doing this. Listen, we're not looking at the world. We should be looking at who? Are you looking for him today? Do you hear him knocking? Let him in. Don't keep him at arm length. What temperature are you, church? Let's pray together. Father, as we look at your text this morning, and Father, we see it's just a scratch of the surface of the church of Laodicea. Father, a church that had a place that had money, they had all these things. But Father, they wasn't on fire for you. So many distractions going on in that place, Father, they couldn't focus. Father, I know I can't speak for our people here, but Father, I know that's true in a lot of our lives. Man, there's so many things going on that he even told my kids this week, I had my laptop, I was typing and I was looking, and I said, I had writer's block. It's because so many things were going on in my head, in my life. And Father, sometimes we can't see the things around us. So this morning, Father, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that's true in my life, Father. Just help us, Father, just to peel back the layers of life and to listen and hear you knocking. Where it sounds like things are beating, things are going on, and we just can't focus. So, Father, peel back the parts of our life that just make us hear that knock and say, hey, that's him. That's the one that I've come to meet with. That's the one who changed my life. I know that knock from anywhere. Reach and grab that door and open it up. Say, Lord, today I know that I may not be hot or cold. I may be lukewarm, but Father, today I want to be hot. I want to be on fire. I want to be victorious. I want to face the things I'm going to face in the future head on in Jesus' name. No matter how fast, how twisted, how bad the world gets, I'm keeping my eyes on you, Lord. Because I want to see you clearly today. Oh, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Allow us to see clearly who you are in our lives. Lord, and forgive us when we make those bad decisions and enter those wrong races. But the great thing of knowing who you are, we can come back to you. And Father, ask you to forgive us. So Father, stir hearts today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.